Hey, good morning. Happy 4th July weekend. Really glad that you guys are here today. And I tell you, I have really enjoyed this summer series, 40 Days in the Word. I've been getting lots of good feedback from people. So even after services, or I've gotten emails and phone calls and stuff telling me about the experiences that you guys are having as you're digging into God's Word. And in my opinion, that and prayer, no greater discipline that you can have in your life. So you'll keep reaping. It's been excellent. I want to jump right in today. We've got a couple more things in the service to have. So get your outline. You have your outline? On your outline, you also have it in your app, is the goal of this series. We've been sharing it every week. And so here it is, that God would show us the living word through the written word. You see that there? That's the objective, that God would show us the living word. Who's the living word? Jesus, through the written word, which is the scriptures. So I know that many of you might feel like, or some of you might feel like, when you're reading the word of God, when you're reading the scriptures, it's kind of like you're reading in the dark. Like maybe I'm just not getting anything out of it, or I don't really understand it. I know it's important, but I'm not seeing what the big deal is, because it's just not happening, right? One of the Holy Spirit's jobs is to illuminate. To illuminate. Now, what's that mean? You can write this down. Illumination. It's understanding the meaning and the application of God's word. That's his part. That he will illuminate, make that thing come alive and shine a light on it for us, for all of us. And we need that. We have a couple of passages of scripture that relate to this truth. One is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, a person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. This is why we need to be born again, to have our spirit come alive, because certain things are only discerned through the Spirit. Ephesians 1, 18, Paul is talking to this new church in Ephesus, and he says, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So the scriptures are more than just a book, and we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, that the eyes of our heart would be open, that we get to see what we can't see without the Spirit of God. And that's his part. That's why we need that connection with him, because he will bring it to light. And we have those moments where we're like, oh, now I see. And that's the Holy Spirit making things real to us. So to enlighten simply means to shine a light on something that whereas without it, you couldn't see. There's a reason why bars, for example, are dim. You go into a bar, it's dim, and the lights are really dim because you may not be talking to that person that you're talking to if you could really see what they actually look like. So they're dim. Certainly, you would never put your hand in that jar of nuts if you lights were on and you could see the hands of all these other people putting their hands in that jar of nuts. So they keep the lights dim. I had a... when the lights are dim, we do things and we can't see the way it really is. We have assumptions. This last week, Monday night, I get up in the middle of the night and I need to visit the restroom. I won't ask you to raise your hands if you can empathize with me here today. I'm sure there's some of you. So I do that and I get up out of bed and it's I don't know, 2-3 in the morning or something like that. And I get up out of bed, roll out of bed, and I right into the wall. I mean, just not a little bit, just face plant. Bam, right there. Oh, and you're totally asleep. And I'm, ah, oh, and I turn and I walk and I bang my toe into a chair just as hard as it could be. Brack, right into the chair. And now I'm thinking, what the heck, Marinelle? Like decorating the room in the middle of the night? Gosh, and I can't find the light, and my eyes are still closed, and finally I find the light, and I turn it on, and I look, I'm in a hotel room. I forgot that I went to bed in a hotel room that night. I went to a conference down in Southern Cal, and I woke up in the middle of the night, mad at my wife for moving the furniture around without me knowing about it in the middle of the night. Okay. When we don't have illumination, when we don't see clearly, we can run into unnecessary problems, right? And have things going on that wouldn't be happening if we just had the lights on. But when the light's on, it brings clarity. And this is the power of the Holy Spirit to illuminate God's word. It's like when you're reading through the Bible and you go, oh, wow, that just jumped out at you. It came to you. That's the Holy Spirit doing what he does, and that's enlightening and bringing power and illumination. So I want to talk about this application in our life, and we're going to look at two powerful points of illumination in the first part of this message. So if you have your outline, write this down for number one. The Holy Spirit sheds light on where I'm stuck. The Holy Spirit sheds light on where I'm stuck. Psalm 119, verse 37 says, "Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word." Turn my eyes from worthless things. Give me life. Light up my path through your word. So there's times in your life where you're gonna come to an awareness like you're stuck. You've been moving and you're stuck and you can't, and your growth is stuck. Your progress is stuck, and you're wondering why. And one of those reasons may be simple, and you know it. You don't even have to pray about it. You know there's some sin issue in your life. You're on the wrong path in an area of your life, and you know you need to stop. You need to turn from that thing and get that out of your life because it's causing damage to your life. And you know what it is. You don't have to pray about it. You're like, okay, I know why I'm blocked. But there's other times that aren't so clear, where we need illumination. We need to know what's going on and why am I stuck here? What's happening here? Why is my progress being stopped? I was thinking about this in relationship to Joshua. Joshua, you can read about it later and throughout the book of Joshua. Chronicles his life and Israel going in and claiming the promised land that God had promised to them. And so you find Joshua at the beginning of this journey to lay siege to these towns and these provinces that are now going to be Israel. And so he's getting ready to go after it. He's gung-ho, he's set. He's got a goal in mind, and that's to take captive these lands. And so he's out one day, and he's getting ready, and he's gathering his troops, and he's doing this, and he runs across somebody. Look at this passage here in verse 13 of Joshua 5. It says, "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?'" You ever have one of those times where you're after something so bad, you want it so bad that anybody who opposes you or stands, you see as an enemy? Like, get out of my way. Do you know what I'm saying? Like some of you are at a buffet line, you know? I've seen you. I had I remember a time back in when we were living on Kauai that we had an idea. I had this idea of, you know, what's in everybody's home? Well, there's a TV. And so we were doing our services and broadcasting them across our little island. We thought about doing a half hour, not a sitcom, but a TV show. And I had a good friend of mine who was a famous comedian across the state. And so we got together and said, let's do this. And man, I was laser focused on getting this thing done. I just thought, this is gonna be, he's so funny. We're gonna use his humor. We're gonna do skits. We're gonna have inspirational time. We're gonna have music. We're gonna have video. We're gonna be at the right locations and have guests and put together this half hour show that's just gonna, it's gonna do it. It's gonna turn around the whole state of Hawaii. Right, okay. So I'm after it. And you know, in order to do it, I had to, pull a lot of money together from people, and we did that, and we had, there's sometimes where people were, you know, saying, well, I don't think you should do it this way, and I'm like, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, I'm ready, I'm off on a track to do this thing and get the money to do it. We present and produce this pilot episode, a half an hour episode. We do it and got it all done, and then we submit it to some places, and it tanked. It was like, it didn't happen. And so when it didn't happen, well, of course I went, well, Lord, it's okay. No, I went, it's your fault. I'm thinking in my brain, if this guy would have just done this, and if this would have happened here and this, because this is a thing that we need to do. And I was so gung-ho like that until I finally had to just stop and say, Lord, what's the matter? And he's like, I never really told you to do this. But it seemed like such a good, how many of you have a will and you're telling God that your will really needs to be his will too? You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how I felt about this. When we're in a situation where we want something so bad, we can tend to blame others for what's not happening. And we need to pause and get it straight. Here's Joshua. He's going after this thing, and then there's this man with a sword drawn that's opposing him. And Joshua says this, what does he say? Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And what's the man say? Verse 14, so he said, no. Joshua's like, no to for us or no to for us? He says, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. This is what's called a Christophany. It's a theological word for an appearance of Christ. We believe in the Old Testament. Before he ever came, born of a virgin in the manger, he was still Jesus. He was the Word. And this is one of those occasions where he appeared. And he literally had his sword drawn, ready to oppose Joshua. Joshua had a promise, and this land is going to be yours, but understand this. It's God's to give, not ours to take. And so when he gives it the way he wants to and in his timing and in the way that he wants to give. It's a promise, but he gives it. Joshua is just out to take. But he caught a clue. He knew this is the Lord. And so his response, he fell on his face to the earth, verse 14, and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. This is illumination. This is a holy place when all of a sudden you're stuck. You don't know why. You're trying to move. And the lights come on and God shines the light on. And you begin to see what you didn't see clearly. That's a holy moment. You may be in a situation where you've been trying to get somewhere and you go down this path, it doesn't work. You change and you're trying to go down this path, it doesn't work. You go down another path, it's not working. You're just stuck. And the tendency would be maybe you're mad at your wife or your husband or their kids or something's going on and you can't figure it out. And you have no idea that maybe God is really trying to keep you from a mistake. When you get stuck, when your progress is being blocked, you've got one of two choices. You can either get angry because you're not getting what you want the way you want when you want it. You can get angry or you can be open. Lord, open my eyes. What's going on? What am I not seeing? Again, we're not trying to convince God that your will should be his will. We want to pray, Lord, your will be done. If I'm stuck, if I'm blocked, if it's not happening, I want to take a step back and say, talk to me, God. Show me. And that's why I want to be in the Word, reading the Word, giving the Holy Spirit opportunity to illuminate that and bring truth to my mind. So that's number one. Here's number two. The Holy Spirit sheds light on my next right step. And we talk about that a lot around here, don't we? We'll talk about it again at the end of the service today, our next right step. The Holy Spirit sheds light on our next right step. And I often hear people say, I'm not sure what my next step is supposed to be. You know, I really want to know what my next step is supposed to be. And part of the reason you may not be aware of the next step in your life, the next right step, is because you're looking for something so grand. You're looking for that next step to be the answer. What's my next step? And you're looking for that thing to be big. And God's saying, no, it's this. This is your next step. It may be baptism. It may be he's calling you to serve. It may be being in a growth group. It may be whatever it is. It's the next step, not the final step. And the thing about taking the next step is we won't know the step following until we take that step. You see what I'm saying? That's why it's so important. And the Holy Spirit illuminates that. When a couple years ago now, when I got a call from Mike Meeks at Eastlake is saying, hey, would you be interested in planting a church in the San Gabriel Valley? And my wife and I had prayed about it, and we felt, yeah, we knew it was time to get back to California, and that was in our desire. And I loved the Eastlake network and all that they stood for, and it was a type of group that I thought I'd be very honored and privileged to be a part of. And so we felt good about it, not knowing how everything was going to happen, certainly, but we knew, okay, we're answering this step, and so we did. And I flew over and got over to San Gabriel Valley, a lovely place. And within a month, the opportunity shut down. There was another church in the area that merged into Eastlake, and it was decided, hey, we really don't need two Eastlake Network churches in that one general area. Let's do something different. So then they said, hey, what about going to Venice and being there with the pastor and helping out with the ministry there and learning our systems and how we do things? And I thought, okay, absolutely, sure. Sounds like a great thing. So we came to Venice. And we came to Venice doing that here with the idea that we were going to go plant probably in Huntington Beach or somewhere down there. And so that was the plan. But man, we started getting very attached to the people here and stuff was going on and things didn't make sense. But I knew I took the next right step that he said. And then the former pastor here took an assignment back at the main church in an area that he felt called of God to do. And they asked Marianelle and I, would you guys like to pastor in Venice? I was like, are you kidding me? Over Duarte? We knew it was a yes. It wasn't even something we had to pray about it because it was already stirred in our hearts and we felt the knitting to you and to this area, and it was a yes. But the point is, if I would have just waited for an opportunity to pastor in Venice, I would have still been somewhere else. There was one step that led to another step that leads to another step. And that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. You may be stuck. You may be looking for progress. What do? I feel like God's got something for me and I'm trying to get somewhere. And we want to see what it is. And he's like, do this. And it may be insignificant. That's why he may have been calling you to do the Bible reading plan. Because on day 33, there was something that was going to happen that illuminated and you got this understanding, enlightenment to this next step. But we wouldn't get it if we weren't taking the next right steps. And so that's where we want to pray. God, show me what that next step is. And it will flow into the following steps. We believe this. This is the Holy Spirit's part. He will do that. He will enlighten. He will. I want to cooperate with it, though. So let's look at this as we turn in the message this morning. How can I cooperate in the process of illumination? What's my part? Because I want my path illuminated. I want to see what is the right path for me to be on. I think everybody would say that. I want the most out of life. I want my marriage. I want my personal life. I want my family. I want success. I want to live the life that God's called me to live. So what's my part in that illuminating process? Number one, my obedience will illuminate my path. God's not going to give you step two until you've done step one. It's just that simple. The book of James, he says this, do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It's not God, show me what it is, you know, so I can decide if I want to obey. It's just taking that next step. I'm going to be obedient to the thing that God calls me to do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you know this by heart. Listen to what it says real intently. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Stop right there. How many of you, like me, man, that's where you blow it. Right there, because you're like, okay, I trust you, Lord, but man, I don't see how you're gonna do this or how this is gonna work out. And man, if I do this, it'll be quicker to get over there. And we're leaning on our own understanding, right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, submit yourself to him. Acknowledge him. In all your ways, not, well, I'll give you these ways and these ways that have to do with church stuff and these ways that have to do with my family, but these ways over here, I kind of think I can do it myself. I got this, Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. It's an issue of trust, isn't it? That God really does have your best in mind. It's an issue of trust. And the only thing we really need to be concerned about is, am I in his will? Am I surrendered to him? Because if I am, man, all I gotta do is obey. He'll take care of the rest. I just need to obey him. I remember when I faced this, I was dating Marianelle. And we had been dating for a couple of years. This is a while ago. We've been dating for a couple of years, and it was getting to that point where, like, everybody was telling me, you know, you better ask this gal to marry you. I mean, not that she'll say yes to you, but you better ask her, you know. And I was, here's the thing. I had a marriage already that had ended, that I didn't plan on it ending. And 17 years invested in that. And I was scared to go into it again. There was a safety of it just being me and my sons because it was predictable. I understood it, you know. I can control my boys. A woman, control? Are you kidding me? So I was scared and didn't quite know what to do. So what I did is I prayed. And I just began to pray and say, God, speak to me. Because I knew this. I knew that Marianelle had the qualities that I wanted in a wife. And I loved her. I was just like her, scared, because we've both been through stuff. And so I began to pray, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And I knew the choice was mine. I mean, I had a choice to make. But I also knew this, as I prayed and I got into God's word, I knew he was saying, hey, you know, you choose, but I brought her to you, son, and you to her. This is me behind this. You can trust me in this. And when I knew that, then it was a matter of stepping out of fear and into faith and trust and going, let's do this, you know? And we did. And what I found is the thing that I feared became my freedom. That I'm more free in marriage than I was before I was married to her. Those things, see, when we obey and we move out, it brings freedom in our lives. Some of you might not get this yet because you're still, you know, kicking the tires with Jesus. But understand this. When we obey, it brings freedom. When we are disobedient and we just do it our way, it brings imprisonment. We're bound up. We're bound up in suspicion. We're bound up in fear. We're bound up in the past and the scars and that we have to take care of ourselves because nobody else really will. And we don't allow God to break through, prove himself, and explode these shackles and bring us into true freedom, you know? Not to make us mindless robots that just, you know, what do you say I should do, God? He gives us a mind. Plans belong to a man, the Bible says, but the Lord directs his steps. Obedience, that helps my path get illuminated. Number two, my self-discipline will illuminate my path. My self-discipline will illuminate my path. There's another word we all love, right? Gee, Mark, going from obedience, now self-discipline. So glad I came to church today. Self-discipline, yes, because it's true, I'm a pastor, that's true. What's also true is that there's plenty of times where I don't feel like doing what's right or obeying or even reading the word or counseling or praying or doing what's right. It's not, you don't wait till you feel this all ooey gooey, you know, or like you're a minister, you must really love it. No, I'm very much human being, right? I'm just a dude. We do these things because we put them in our lives because we believe in the virtue of them. It's self-discipline. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should do. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. That's heavy duty right there. They're saying, listen, here's the thing. When you are facing a pressure situation, it will be clear if you've been working or not. Do you know what I'm saying? The proof will be in the pudding. Here's an example of that. I want you to see. Guess which one has not been taking his next right step? This is the same way in our lives. When we want to, you all of a sudden get to that point where you really need an exercise of faith in your life or patience or grace or understanding or temperance or whatever that is. It's either there because you've sown into this into your life. You've been sowing into these things, and so that character has been reaping in your life, or you can't wait for that moment of pressure when you really need that kind of faith or patience or grace or whatever it is, or forgiveness or whatever, and then try to go find it. We want to work these things into our lives. My path gets illuminated as I'm self-disciplined, as I put these things into my life that I know are important. It's just like an athlete training for a prize. There's a cost. We're going to have something in this fall called our growth track, and I can't wait for it. We got a lot of exciting things happening come this fall that are going to take us into the new year. And one of them is this growth track that's going to help every person that calls Venice Church their home to go through these stages of personal development and their discipleship and in their ministry giftings and their serving and whatever areas. And I'm so excited about it. But there will be a cost to it, not a financial cost. But there will be a cost of an investment of time and sacrifice, just like when we train our bodies to get healthy or to be physically fit, there's a cost to it. And so if I want my path that I'm on illuminated, it's gonna require self-discipline. Here's the third one and the last one. My open heart will illuminate my path. My open heart. You see, a closed heart, a posture that we bring into life of fear or mistrust, it's gonna certainly stunt your progress. It may block it, impede it altogether, but it's gonna certainly stunt it. And here, guys, listen. Every one of us has legitimate reasons for having closed hearts. I don't know necessarily all of your stories. You don't know all of my story. We don't know each other's all stories, but I promise you, things of betrayal or mistrust, abuse, disloyalty. I've known these too, and they can close your heart down, and then close your heart down. You know who else has known these? Very intimately, is Jesus. This is one of the things that's so amazing about him, makes him so unique. The author of Hebrews said it best. It says, since we have this great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. All these things that we've had to endure, you think, oh no, he didn't, or he was God, it didn't really happen. He was fully human, fully God, but fully human. There's so many things he went through that we can never understand. Isaiah just gives a list, a bullet list almost, of things that this Messiah, our Jesus, would go through. Here's just some of them. Despised and rejected. Man of sorrows. Acquainted with deepest grief. Oppressed. Treated harshly, yet never said a word. Led like a lamb to the slaughter. Unjustly condemned. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. This is our Jesus. If anyone had a legitimate reason to live with a closed heart, it would be him. He did no wrong. We at least have done some wrongs. He did no wrong. And yet all these things that came at him to the last moments of his life, and he never lived with a closed heart. Why? Because you know, only with an open heart can I accomplish what the Father God has set me to accomplish. And that's what he did. He went to the cross with an open heart, with love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His path was brightly lit because he had this open heart and obedience to the Father. He knew exactly what he had come for. And because he lived that way, we became recipients. Look at how that passage in Isaiah wraps up. It says, verse 11, and because of his experience, Jesus, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. Guys, that's you and I right there. Because of what he did, he will make it possible for many to be righteous because he didn't shut his heart, because he kept it wide open. We have peace with God because Jesus kept an open heart and entrusted it to the Father. We have grace because even though he suffered disgrace, he didn't hold people in contempt. We have mercy when he was denied mercy. We have eternal life because he gave his life. He lived it with an open heart because he ultimately trusted his heart to the Father. Therefore, his path was lit. The Holy Spirit was able to illuminate. He knew exactly what he came for. If you're stuck, if you're feeling stuck in certain areas, that might be it. It might be obedience. It might be self-discipline. It might be that I need to give my heart to God and not just give it to people, but give it to God. To lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him. He will illuminate and direct my path. That is the beauty of it. When we choose to live life with an open heart, our open heart keeps us on the path of life. That's a fact. When we choose to live life with an open heart towards God. Now, I don't know how your year has been. I don't know what you've lost. I don't know if you've lost a loved one or lost health or lost a job. I don't know if you've suffered disloyalty or injustice somehow or been hurt. I'm not sure what you've been through, but every step of the way, I promise you, Jesus has been with you. He's been with you. And you may not see it. You may look and say, where is he? And that's where we need to pray and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, illuminate. Help me. I've been busy maybe pointing fingers or trying to figure this out or find my own way. Let me take a step back. Is there something you want to say to me, you know, and speak to me through your word or just speak to my heart so that I can, so my path can be illuminated so I can get on that right path. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up right now. And they're going to play a song, wonderful song, God for us, God with us, because he is with us. And I know that there are those times where, again, you don't see it, you know? And you're wondering, well, if God's with me, then why this and why that? You may never know the whys, but he's promised to be with you, and he's also promised to redeem everything that you go through. You cannot fail in trusting God. So the Holy Spirit will do his part. He will illuminate. I want you to raise your hands, but how many of you need some illumination this morning? And you want to pray, and you want to ask God, Lord, show me. And then listen, maybe it's a matter of obedience. Maybe your next right step, you've been looking for that big answer, and it's like, no, just be faithful in this. Do this. And when you do, it's going to open the door to this, and to this, and to this. And that's the next right step. Maybe you realize that you've been leaning on your own understanding, and you hear this morning say, you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to trust, so I'm going to just take that step. And when I do, oh, never knew this step was coming. And that's how it works with God. And then we look back and go, wow, what a journey it's been. God has been with me, and God is using me. And so as we worship the Lord right now, take time to pray, would you? And take time to just listen, and then we'll come back up, and we'll close in just a second.